Hi, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 7th of May. In just a moment, we're delighted to have Congressman David Obey with us. He has been in Congress for a long time, the longest serving member of either House of Congress in the history of Wisconsin, and also the third longest serving member of the House. I love this description of him from Mayor Tom Barrett, who was once his colleague in the House, and said that Obey is the smartest member of the House and does not suffer fools gladly. So let's all ask smart questions. He's also right in the center of this compromise that will take place, perhaps, in order to end the war in Iraq. Obey has said there will be no happy endings to this war. The president's policy has done so much damage that there is no good way for us to get out, whether it happens in 6 months or a year or 5 years. He's also been a very strong supporter of Wisconsin Public Radio. Actually, he was one of the people who put together this whole statewide system. So he's been supporting us with federal funds and also the creation of this marvelous public radio setup. So he is going to be with us. Oh, he's on the line. Okay, so we're just going to ask for your pledge money right now, and then we're going to go right to him. Rhonda Fanning, our producer, is here in the studio. Hello, Rhonda.
Good morning, Kathleen. Just real quick, I want to let you get to the interview. I just want to mention that we have a goal this hour of $3,000 and a challenge grant from existing listeners that if we make that goal, we are going to receive an extra $500. So call now, 800-383-9772, or log on to WPR.org.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Please call with your pledges. Congressman Obey is with us right now, and we're going to be welcoming phone calls for him as well. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. He represents Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, grew up in Wausau, did undergrad and grad work in Soviet politics at the University of Wisconsin. And it's interesting how our life takes different turns. Fully expected to be teaching Russian and Chinese politics before he went into public service. When he began his service in Congress, he was the youngest member of Congress, and he is very much involved in talking about Iraq and fashioning some kind of exit strategy for Iraq, a war that he has called a stupid war. He is with us now and will be welcoming phone calls. Call in early. He's with us the first part of this hour. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. 414-227-2050. Congressman Obey, hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
Morning.
Can we start with this bill that you're heavily involved in putting together that would guarantee Iraq war money only through July?
Well, which one are you talking about?
This is the one that you were talking about last Thursday, according to press reports. And after that, if the Iraqi government doesn't meet political and security goals, then the money could be cut off.
Well, I'm not going to confirm or deny what was in those stories. Half of what was in those stories was wrong. I don't really have any intention of talking to anybody until I've talked to my own caucus about it, because I have offered a number of alternatives to the leadership. Very frankly, the important thing is not the exact wording of what we have in any amendment. The question is whether or not we are going to have enough Democratic unity in the House to put pressure on the president and to put pressure on Iraqi politicians to make the kind of political compromises that are necessary to bring this civil war to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not writing any immortal words here. We are simply trying to keep the president from dividing the Congress and continuing this war for the next 3 years.
You've said, Congressman Obey, that there will be no happy endings to this war. Is that one of the things that's holding us up here, that somehow some people believe, the president particularly, that there might be a happy ending to the war?
Well, I mean, the president has been promising a happy ending since before we attacked Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
He told us that we were going to be welcomed with open arms. He told us 4 years ago last week that the fighting was over. He told us that we were going to be able to establish a beacon of democracy in the Middle East. I mean, he was so enthusiastic, I expected him to announce that Iraq would be put on the presidential primary schedule right after New Hampshire.
Mm.
And he thought that we could get the job done with many fewer troops than General Shinseki warned. And now every time he goes on television, he talks about seeing light at the end of the tunnel, which is the way Lyndon Johnson and Robert McNamara talked about Vietnam for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about Senator Clinton's idea to and Senator Byrd's to repeal the resolution authorizing force in Iraq?
I'm for any proposal that puts pressure on the administration to change course. But the fact is that you can deauthorize if you want, but that isn't going to stop this president from insisting that he can use his commander-in-chief responsibilities in order to keep the war going. The reason that I have been for a timeline is because I think that is the only thing that puts pressure on Iraqi politicians to start making compromises.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at what happened 2 weeks ago, the Maliki government, one of the benchmarks that the president said we should use to judge progress in Iraq was whether or not military forces that are supposedly responsible to the central government, whether they will enforce the law on an even-handed basis. And yet Maliki removed a number of military commanders because they were too tough on the Shiite militia. I mean, it's that kind of nonsense that will prevent them from ever getting together as long as they think they have a permanent American security blanket.
Mm-hmm. I know you voted against the war, and I know the votes are done here, except that you can't help but wonder, hearing this horrible news that happens day after day, bombings, 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 it's just a series of depressing news and loss of life. You voted against this war, and you've taken to task the press for not doing their job and looking at what the consequences would be. Why didn't we do that? Why didn't we look at what the results of a preemptive war might be? Why didn't Congress do its homework? The press didn't do its homework?
Well, I mean, if you put things in perspective, actually, I think things have gotten a lot better through the years because, I would ask people when the Gulf of Tonkin resolution first came up under Lyndon Johnson, I mean, there was virtually no challenging of that in the press, and there was no challenging of that in the part of the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the House, there wasn't a single person who voted against the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. And then after Bill Fulbright began to hold oversight hearings to get the facts, you began to get more pressure build up. The problem that you always have in this country is that the press is largely interested, I think, I think they want to believe what they're told by the executive branch. So do we in Congress want to believe that. But time and time again, this country has been lied to by presidents of both parties. So I think it just demonstrates that you need to have a cantankerous press and a cantankerous Congress that will always challenge the assumptions and challenge the claimed facts that the executive branch is making in order to make sure that we're getting the truth out of them. I mean, this administration just fed one falsehood after another to the Congress and the press, and it took a long while for both of them to wise up.
Yeah. Congressman David Obey is our guest. We're going to welcome phone calls. He's here for the first half hour of the program. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Milwaukee area callers 227-2050. And Thomas from Madison is our first caller, Congressman Obey. Hi, Thomas.
Hi. I was just kind of wondering, I'd heard a lot recently about this last bill that President Bush had just vetoed, and a lot of the extra baggage that was tacked on with it. What was some of that? I'd heard it was some soybean stuff or subsidies or something like that.
Well, let me run through what some of the items were. The president asked for about $100 billion in military assistance, in military funding for the war. He also asked for about $4 billion in other more unrelated items. Here's what we added, and I take full responsibility for all of it because I did it. what we did, first of all, was to add $3 billion for what's known as BRAC. We are realigning our bases around the world. We are closing a number of them. When you close military bases, you have environmental cleanup problems you have to take care of. You have to build housing, military housing for the military that you're moving to different bases. So we put $3.1 billion in the bill. The president himself had asked for that a year ago in a separate bill. We also added several billion dollars for defense health because you've got horrendous injuries that are being incurred by military people, brain damage, faces shot away, and we haven't had nearly enough help given to those soldiers. We then provided an additional $1.7 billion for veterans' health care. I make no apology for that. We added to over $2 billion of additional funding for border security, port security, and cargo security because we still have gaping holes in our homeland security network. We added an extra $1 billion for the war in Afghanistan because we thought it would be kind of nice if we fought the right war in the right country rather than the wrong war in the wrong country. And Afghanistan is where we should have focused because that's where bin Laden was, and that was the government that was giving al-Qaeda sanctuary. We also added $3 billion for Katrina funding. If there's anybody in this country who thinks that we finished our obligation to rebuild those levees in New Orleans, they're smoking something that ain't legal. We then added over $600 million to deal with the pandemic flu epidemic, which scientists around the world are worried about. The president asked for that money 3 years ago on an emergency basis. The previous Republican Congress didn't give it to him. We added it to it. We then provided $400 million for low-income heating assistance. That's a program which I started many years ago with Ed Muskie, and we did that because the previous Congress cut $1 billion out of that program last year, and with higher energy prices, we think we ought to be providing more help to low-income seniors who have to choose between eating and heating their homes. Then we added funding for agriculture disasters. It wasn't me who declared 70% of American counties as disaster areas. It was a fellow by the name of Bush. And when the president makes those declarations, that produces an entitlement for farmers in those counties. The Congress had been arguing for over 2 years on how to meet those responsibilities. So we simply produced a package which cut the Senate bill back by about one-third. And tried to pass it. The president laughed about spinach because we had money, a small amount of money for spinach growers. Nobody was laughing a year ago when people were sick to death because they'd eaten contaminated spinach contaminated by E. coli. The federal government asked those spinach growers, even though all but one grower produced perfectly product, the government asked them to withdraw their product from the marketplace. We were simply compensating them partially for that loss. And I make no apology for it. That's a perfectly legitimate response. Without a response of that kind, you in effect have the federal government engaging in an economic taking without compensation, which I don't think is a very good idea for the federal government to do. So that's basically what we added. I make no apology for it.
There was a pretty complete answer by the guy who did it. Thanks, Thomas, for the call. Our number is 800-486-8655. I want to spend just a few moments because I know the importance of this in your life and your concerns because of illness with your father, that whether or not you would be able to finish school at the University of Wisconsin. I know so many people, Congressman Obie, who are paying off student loans you know, they were at school 10 years ago, they're working a couple jobs to pay off those loans, and so many students who just don't seem to be able to get into college now because the cost is just exorbitant. I know you have talked extensively about making college education truly accessible for all. What is the Democratic Congress doing about that issue right now?
Well, when we took over in January, the Republicans had not passed a single domestic appropriation bill. So before we could move on to this year's budget, we had to clean up last year's unfinished business. So the first thing that I did was to cut about 60 low-priority programs. We saved about $9 billion. We took that money and added it to the remaining money left under the Republican budget resolution. And we put $17 billion in the high-priority program. One of those programs was the Pell Grant program, which is the main program that we use to help students from low- and moderate-income families go to college. Over the past 5 years, the cost of attending a four-year public university has increased by over $3,300.
My.
And so... And yet student aid had been frozen over that time period under the previous Republican congressional regime. So we added a significant amount of money to the budget so that we could increase the maximum Pell Grant by over $300. And we're going to try to do the same thing again in the budget that we're trying to put together for next year. So that's the main thing we're trying to do to deal with education. We're also trying to over time bring down the cost of student loans somewhat, but our main focus right now is on the Pell Grant.
Let's go to Carl from Madison. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Kathleen and Representative Obey. Representative Obey, would you discuss what the likelihood would be of passing in the, the next Congress, 111th Congress, a single-payer health care plan? And talk about, are there Democrats that would be opposed to a single-payer program, or... how many seats do we have to pick up in Congress to get such a single-payer health care plan? And anything else you'd like to add about such a likelihood?
Well, I frankly don't think that there's a chance of a snowball in Hades of any major health care reform as long as George Bush is president. I think this country is going to have a national debate about that in the coming presidential election. I've endorsed John Edwards for president. And one of the reasons I've done that is because I think he has taken the clearest position in favor of major reform of our health care system. And frankly, I don't care if it's a single-payer system or if it's a I don't care if it's a Medicare add-on. I don't care if it's provided through employers. I don't care if it's done by having states create statewide pools for the uninsured. I'll play it flat or play it round. All I want to know is that at the end of the at the end of the decision, we've got everybody in this country covered by health care. So I just think we need to be less hung up on what the approach is and simply focus on our moral responsibility to see to it that people can walk into a hospital or a doctor's office and get the help they need without begging.
So what's the story with this? People have been calling for a reform of health care. Businesses now are saying we're spending way too much for premiums. It seems to me, Congressman Obey, you have this bipartisan consensus that reform needs to happen, and yet it doesn't happen. Why?
Well, because there are a lot of people who think that health care ought to be financed through immaculate conception. And the fact is it takes money. The other problem you have is there is almost a theological opposition to government involvement in solving the problem on the part of some people. And that has to end. I mean, government is not, despite Ronald Reagan's comments to the contrary, government is not the enemy of the American people. Government is supposed to be one tool that the American people can use to fix problems when the private sector or private markets get out of whack. And so you're supposed to be able to use government to take the rough edges off capitalism so that capitalism works for everybody. That's what Bob La Follette wanted to do. That's what FDR wanted to do. That's what the progressives through the ages have wanted to do. And I think finally big business is beginning to realize that costs are so out of control and that they will not be controlled until you have universal coverage, because otherwise you have a huge amount of money being spent with insurance companies and medical facilities debating with each other about how certain bills are going to get paid. That money should go into patient care rather than in legal debates between the insurance industry and the hospitals and physicians of the country.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Jim from Salt Lake City. Hi, Jim.
Congressman, it's so good to hear your voice. Used to see you all the time when you came to campus in Stevens Point. You're one of the last of the Jedi Democrats, so it's good to hear your voice. What I wanted to ask you is your response to the president and all the other members of Congress who are saying, with the bill that was proposed on financing the troops and the cutoff date, that you actually are hurting the morale of the Army, you're helping the insurgents by giving them motivation. I mean, I just want to hear your response, because you hear that all the time on the airways.
Well, it's ridiculous, because first of all, the bill that we passed provided $4 billion more in support for the troops than the president asked for. Secondly, in my view, so long as we do not have a target date for redeploying forces, we allow ourselves to be the target and the issue. I mean, we have been the principal recruiting poster for Al Qaeda in Iraq since the day that we attacked Iraq. And in my view, you take away an argument from Al Qaeda and others in Iraq who are fighting us if they are no longer able to say that the Americans are going to be there forever, and so they need to attack them in order to drive them out. So I just think it's an absurd argument. And I would also point out, if you're talking about protecting the troops, let me tell you three other things the president vetoed when he vetoed our bill. One of the provisions in our bill would have required that the president could not send military units into combat unless they were fully combat ready. Hmm. Right now, virtually every military unit stationed in the country is rated at the lowest possible readiness rating, which is C4. That's simply intolerable. Secondly, we wanted to require that for any military unit that was in Iraq, they would not be required to spend more than 1 year without being able to go home. When you extend people's stay longer than that, that puts unacceptable pressure on them. It means that people who are tired and worn down are going to make more mistakes, and those mistakes are going to cost lives. Thirdly, we wanted to require that for any unit that the president sent to Iraq, that they could not be sent back until they'd had a full year's dwell time back home, so that they've had time to recover from the stress of the situation over in Iraq. Those are the kind of things you do if you're trying to help the troops. You don't help the troops by saying, well, folks, we got us into a dumb war. We don't have a clue about how to get out. And so to make the politicians look good, we're going to keep you there for another year.
Thanks very much for the call. We are in a pledge drive, Congressman Obey. I do want to thank you for your support for federal funds. And I understand that you were one of the guys who fashioned this terrific network that we have here in Wisconsin, that you were all behind that. And this is a good service, don't you think?
You bet. Many years ago when I was in the legislature, you had a bipartisan effort led by people like Bill Steiger, a Republican from Oshkosh, myself from Wausau, Jarrett Leonard, a Republican from Milwaukee, Walter Chilson from Wausau, Ray Heinzen from Marshfield, and some others. Governor Dreyfus, he was not then governor, but he was at the University of Stevens Point. He was involved in the issue as well. So it was a good bipartisan effort that has created, I think, a terrific service for all the citizens of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I understand you have a bestseller coming out in September, your book, Raising Hell for Justice, huh?
Well, I doubt it's going to be a bestseller, but I do have a book coming out in the fall.
Great.
It just talks about my experiences in politics.
We'd love to have you on for a full hour then so we can talk about that.
Good.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Enjoyed it. Congressman David Obie, who's a very powerful man in Washington right now, is head of the House Appropriations Committee and is extremely involved. And you heard my question at the beginning of the hour that he doesn't want to talk publicly yet about what's going on privately in terms of coming up with another way to end the war in Iraq. He talked about the need for democratic unity on this. And we thank him so much for being with us. We'll have to have him back. He's a great guest. We are in a pledge drive. We're going to continue our conversation with Professor Ed Miller, but let me just give you the phone number for a pledge. The number is 800-383-9772, 800-383-9772, or WPR.org. And as you know, we have these kinds of important conversations. I mean, you couldn't ask for much more if you are concerned about the war in Iraq, if you are concerned about democratic unity, if you are concerned about a number of issues, health care, college education, et cetera. The Congressman Obie, who has done his homework and has been a hardworking member of Congress for a long, long time now, 39 years. This is some of what you get on Wisconsin Public Radio, and also a conversation with a guy who helped put together this whole network. So now would be a terrific time for you to pledge. Let's try and say thanks to him for being with us so that you have a chance to talk to him about Iraq, and thanks to him for helping this network to be. All right, call and pledge. We have a goal of $3,000 this hour. It would be just terrific if we went over. 800-383-9772 or WPR.org, 800-383-9772. We're going to continue our conversation about fashioning a compromise when it comes to Iraq, looking at some of the other issues that Congressman Obie talked about, health care reform, his support for John Edwards, I think partially in large measure because of Edwards' very complete plan on health care reform, college education, et cetera. We're happy to have Professor Ed Miller with us now, who's a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Our on-air number remaining the same, so call 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Congressman Ed Miller, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning. I'm not a congressman, but
I'm sorry. Did I call you congressman?
But you never know.
Professor, you never. Oh, are you going to announce something? I'm sorry, Professor.
That part of my career.
Thanks so much for being with us. You know, we tend to forget, or maybe some of us remember, but Congressman Obie is a real hotshot in Washington right now. He's the head of a very powerful committee, isn't he?
Right, right. He's the chair of appropriations, and that's probably the most important committee because, everything needs funding, and that's the key funding committee.
Right. He talked about the importance of democratic unity in fashioning some kind of answer to the presidential veto when it comes to spending for the Iraq war. Where do you see the Democrats on this issue right now? Are they kind of falling apart, or will there be some unity? Will they send a strong message to the president on this issue?
Right. I think that the Democratic unity is fairly strong, and I think it will get stronger. There's a few Democrats that are wavering. Some of the issues that Congressman Obie mentioned that were in the bill were certainly important issues, but they didn't have to be in that bill. They could have been in another bill. And one of the reasons they were put in that bill was to maintain the strong Democratic support for the bill. I think the problem is the Republican support. And that's a particular issue because of, although they can get the bill through, I think, with the Democratic support, in the Senate may be slightly more difficult, only because the Democrats have such a slim majority in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, the problem is that the president, if he vetoes the bill, you need a supermajority, the 2/3, to be able to override the veto, and that clearly would need Republicans. And as a matter of fact, one of the reasons for although Congressman Obie didn't speak of it, the two-vote approach that they're talking about is to engender Republican support for any override in the second bill.
Mm-hmm.
Because certain situations will occur when the second bill is considered that are not there now.
Mm-hmm. I know he didn't want to talk about this very much, but what are you reading, what are you hearing about his proposal? I understand he fashioned this that would guarantee Iraq war money only through July, and
right.
Then it's tied to political and security goals on the part of the Iraqi government. Does that stand a chance?
Yeah, this is very similar. I mean, this has been done before. This was done on the in the 1980s on the MX missile, where they approved part of the missile, the development of the missile in 82, I think it was, and then the next year they then approved money for the development of the basis for the missile. In this particular case, as I understand it, what's being considered is partial, like 45% of the funding would be approved, which would take care of military operations. There would also be a significant amount of that 45% that is earmarked for health programs. And also, as Congressman Ovi mentioned, in terms of the high priority vehicles, in this case was protection for the troops. So not only we would get troops, but we protect the troops when they get over there. So part of that, and then the rest of it would come in July, the other 55%. And the reason for July is, it's not just delaying it, is because at the time of July, we're going to have various reports, particularly from the general's report having to do with what the government is doing over there, how the war is going, how the surge is going. And so one issue there, when once we get these particular performance measures, so to speak, in July, if the performance measures are bad, one of the hopes is that Republicans would then go along with that measure. Mm-hmm. Increasingly, Republicans are moving away from the war, and with a report that is not good, if that's true, then some Republicans may support the second resolution.
Yeah. And what about the president? Where is he willing to budge on this?
Well, the president hasn't been willing to budge at all. And the president, as many presidents have claimed that foreign policy, in this case military policy in particular, is presidential entirely. Well, in fact, it's not. I mean, if you look at the Constitution itself, the interesting thing is everybody looks at the commander-in-chief, and Congressman Obi mentioned the commander-in-chief, and that the president will hang his hat on the commander-in-chief's power.
Oops, hello.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I lost you for a second. On the commander-in-chief's power, but the fact is that if you look at the Constitution, the lion's share of powers in foreign policy are actually given to the Congress, not to the president. Now, of course, it hasn't evolved that way in terms of our country, but in fact, they have tremendous powers, not only appropriation, but approval of military officers, approval of treaties, you know, and so forth.
Let me ask you also about this Senate idea, and Obi endorsed this, anything that would end this war. I think this was actually a Kennedy idea some time ago, the measure to repeal the resolution authorizing force that Bush would be required in October of this year to seek Congress, congressional blessing to continue operations in Iraq.
Right, and that's that also goes along with a long history. You know, the Gulf of Tonkin War, Tonkin Resolution, which was the resolution that was passed supposedly authorizing the Vietnam War after our ship was shot on Gulf of Tonkin. That was ultimately repealed when, especially in that particular case, the discovery was after a series of hearings. That the facts that were presented were exactly not as represented when the resolution was passed. And so they did repeal that. But this goes way back. If you look back at the Mexican-American War, the declaration of war, you know, to go to war with Mexico, was really questionable. You know, the idea that, you know, the Mexican had crossed the Rio Grande and things like that, and they found out, well, that wasn't exactly true as well. And so this creates a constitutional crisis because the question is, if they repeal that, I mean, he can go on the commander in chief, but we do have a War Powers Act, and that's never been tested. There's a War Powers Act that requires the president to get approval of the Congress and cannot prosecute the war more than 90 days without this particular approval. Well, there's a question whether the presidents have claimed that's unconstitutional. That's actually never been tested.
We're going to welcome more phone calls. We have time for a few. Professor Ed Miller, professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, is with us now. And we'll take more of your phone calls as we talk about Iraq, the service of Congressman David Obi, and other subjects. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Professor Ed Miller with us for just a couple more minutes, and we go to Bob from Eau Claire. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you doing?
All right, morning,
Bob.
I wasn't able to get through when, you know, the senator was on. But, you know, it was this thing about health insurance.
Yeah.
Okay, I just went in for a physical. I got my statement 50107.
Yeah.
Does not include radiologist or physician. $839.
Ooh.
I pay $965 a month for health insurance coverage.
Mm.
You know, and now on today's news, I don't know if you watched or not, but in the Chippewa Valley, the three local hospitals have agreed to finally comply with a law that was passed 2 years ago that they can't charge people without insurance more than they charge people with insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not being required to refund any of that money, which has been going on about a decade or more.
Mm-hmm. Professor,
I was not aware, if it is a law, that any law has been passed with regard to that. That's a situation where hospitals, for example, and so as physicians, make agreements with insurance companies, and this is the discount. And so if you go in with insurance to the hospital, the charges are different than if you go into a hospital without insurance, essentially pay the list price. Well, there's been a series of newspaper articles for quite some time, was a major one in Wall Street Journal, dealing with this particular issue, and hospitals have sort of voluntarily agreed to charge some rate below that of their list price, supposedly the rate that they charge insurance companies with those without insurance. That's sort of a voluntary agreement. One of the issues there is we don't know what that rate is, because hospitals will not release what insurance companies pay, because, you know, they argue that it's proprietary information. And so we don't know what that is, but that's a real problem in terms of what the charges are. It's like being on an airplane, that everybody going the same place, at least I hope so, on the same plane, is paying different prices. Well, that's true with regard to a hospital or a doctor. You're mm-hmm. sitting there, it's $100 for a physical, one person, another person, they're paying $80, depending on what their insurance company has negotiated.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for the call. Well, it's always fun to talk to you, Professor Miller. We got to ask for some money now, so.
Okay, glad to be with you.
Yeah, thank you so much, and I'm sorry I called you Congressman, but I guess that's a compliment, right?
That's a compliment. I hope your listeners contribute a lot.
Thank you. We hope so, too. Professor Ed Miller, professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, and we thank him so much for being with us. And thanks so much to Congressman David Obey. He lived up to his billing, didn't he? He's a great guest. And a lot of history there, a lot of history when it comes to public radio as well, because he was one of the people who fashioned it. He mentioned the other people, Governor Dreyfus, before he became governor, who was chancellor at Stevens Point, who had this vision too, and Jack Mitchell, and a number of other people who really got this network going in the state of Wisconsin. And it's such a prize, you know that, I'm sure, if you're listening to us, and some of you know the history here, but Obey was instrumental in that, and he's a very, very powerful member of the House, and is the third longest serving member of the House now, and the longest serving in either the House or the Senate of anybody in Wisconsin history. So he's all right. He's smart. He's a hardworking guy. Our phone number is 800-383-9772, 800-383-9772, if you'd like to pledge, and we hope that you will. Or WPR.org, WPR.org. Rhonda Fanning is joining me in our studios here in Milwaukee, Bill Estes as well. And we'd really like to pledge the heck out of this hour. We want to get to this goal, everybody, right? Which is, and we're $32,000 away. So if we can just, we'll end this, baby, as soon as you call. So, yeah, this is a perfect hour to call. Don't you think, Rhonda?
800-383-9772. Good morning. I just wanted to remind everyone that we have a challenge grant this hour. If we make our goal of $3,000, we are going to get that extra $500 from existing members. So it's a great time to call 800-383-9772 or log on to WPR.org. And just as an update, we had that great challenge grant on Friday from Schwartz Bookstore.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just wanted to let everyone know that we did, in fact, make our goal, and we got
great.
That challenge grant. So I just wanted to thank everyone who called on Friday. And if you missed it on Friday, call this morning and help us get this challenge grant, 800-383-9772.
Actually, I was at Schwartz that very day, and the people behind the counter, who I know because I love that bookstore, were saying to me, all kinds of people came in today to talk about Barbara Kingsolvers. So that was good. That's good.
1-800-383-9772 is the number, and this challenge grant is a special only this hour. If you pledge your support right now, a group of current donors to Wisconsin Public Radio have gone out of their way to pledge their support to Wisconsin Public Radio, and they ponied up $500, but we'll make that goal if and only if you call right now and you make a pledge during this break only. If we don't make the goal for this hour, we will lose that $500. So as Rhonda just said, if you didn't give us a pledge last Friday, do it right now, 800-383-9772.
800-383-9772 or WPR.org. You don't very often get a chance to interact with somebody who has the power and who has the smarts of Congressman Dave Obie, and also his history with Wisconsin Public Radio, which is substantial. He's one of the guys who helped get it all going. You know, I love his style. He's not trying to be smooth or, you know, a politician in any way. He's just sort of there he is, and it's what he thinks, and you know, he's smart and very involved in trying to fashion some kind of end to the war in Iraq. I mean, he's doing some very important work. Would you please call and pledge, help us reach our goal, and say thanks for this kind of programming? The number is 800-383-9772, 800-383-9772, or WPR.org, and help us get to this goal so we can end this pledge drive and say thanks very much and just move on to other things.
11 minutes left. It all starts with this hour, reaching this goal of $3,000, getting that challenge grant from existing members. We're going to be that much closer to our overall goal of $275,000, that much closer to ending this pledge drive and getting back to regular programming. 800-383-9772 or log on to WPR.org.
It'll take 2 or 3 minutes of your time this morning to call one of our volunteers, give us your name, your address, a couple of phone numbers, an email address, and then tell us how much Wisconsin Public Radio is worth to you and your family. Maybe it's $10 a month. Maybe it's $20 a month. You decide the amount. Our volunteers are there to take your pledge of support, and then tell us how you want to pledge it. Do you want to pay it all at once with a check? Do you want to put it on a MasterCard or Visa or Discovery card? Do you want to have it come out of your checking or savings account through electronic transfer? You decide how, and you decide how much. But we need to hear from you to make this challenge grant this hour. We have about 11 minutes before the end of the hour here, and we do need to hear from you in order for that challenge grant to be added to the kitty here. Call right now, 800-383-9772. You'll move us toward the end of this pledge drive, and you'll make sure we get that additional $500 that's being dangled in front of Kathleen and Rhonda right now. Go to your phone, 800-383-9772. Do not let down Kathleen and Rhonda.
And if you were thinking of pledging, and we know you were, now is a good time to do this so we can reach that overall goal. We are $32,000 away from ending this pledge drive, so if you could just make your phone call now and get this over. If you're going to do it, you know, an hour from now or 5 hours from now, just think, I'm going to do it right now, and then we'll be able to end this pledge drive. And I hope you realize the importance of being able to talk to people like Congressman David Obie, who really is at the forefront. And the work that he's doing is probably the most important work of our time. He's trying to fashion some kind of exit strategy, which the American people want, from Iraq. He's in the process right now as we speak. After we hung up, he's talking with Democratic leaders in the House and in the Senate to fashion some kind of bill that will reflect the will of the American people. I mean, this guy is very important right now. He's very important to creating this whole public radio system in Wisconsin. It was an important conversation, and it's something that you'll only have here. You'll only have here. So would you please call and thank him for establishing this, and thank Rhonda for getting him on the air so that we can talk to somebody who's doing this good work. Well, it's just worth it, isn't it? 800-383-9772. 800-383-9772. Let's hear the The phones ring, ring.
And I know our listeners appreciate as well. Lois from Janesville called in and said that she is pledging in honor of David Obey.
Nice.
So thanks very much, Lois. We appreciate that call. And just as an incentive to call this hour and get this pledge drive over today, that means we go back to regular programming. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to speak to Sidney Blumenthal, who, as you know, worked for the New Republic, the New Yorker, the Washington Post. He was
senior advisor
to Bill Clinton from 1997 to 2001. Let us have that full hour with him tomorrow. Call now,
yes,
end this pledge drive,
right,
and in the 10 o'clock hour, we'll be talking to an evolutionary biologist about his new book, Evolution for Everyone. So let's.
Good for you. You remembered it.
It took me a second.
It's right there.
Evolution. 800-383-9772. Let's call. Let's make our overall goal of $275,000. Let's put an end to this pledge drive. Get back to our hour-long discussions.
Yes. 800-383-9772. 800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
We have three pledge drives each year because it's a very easy and direct and efficient way for us to talk to you to convince you that Wisconsin Public Radio is worth some support. It's your favorite radio station. Maybe help support it along the way. And because we promise that we will end this pledge drive when we make the goal, we're getting close. And you can help us end this pledge drive today if and only if you call in and pledge your support. $10 a month, $20 a month, $500, $1,000, $5. You decide the amount and go to your phone right now. Keep our volunteers busy through the day. And as promised, the pledge drive will end when we make that goal. 800-383-9772 is the number for you to call and become a member today. If you're listening online, just click on WPR.org and we can do it that way.
In the second hour of our program today, see, this is what I love. You love waking up in the morning and coming into work and talking with Congressman Obey. And then the second hour of our show, Rhonda has booked direct from Shanghai, China. This guy has done really groundbreaking work on wheat gluten, and China is now finally testing food for chemicals. They've begun nationwide inspections after first denying that any of this melamine was put into wheat gluten. He's been on top of this story and looks at it from the perspective of what information is coming to the West and what's being suppressed in China. So that's coming up the second hour of our program. You know, you wake up and you say, wow, we got great things to talk about today, and I hope that you appreciate all the effort that goes into this and a chance to talk about the important issues of our time. So call and pledge, okay? 800-383-9772 is our number. 800-383-9772.
There's about 6 minutes left in this hour, and we are so close to that goal of $3,000. So pick up the phones. Call now, 800-383-9772. Do not let us miss out on this extra $500 challenge grant from existing members. I cannot tell you how important these challenge grants
are. Yes, they are. Right.
To making the overall goal. And we were so happy on Friday that we got our challenge grant from Schwartz Bookstore with the show with Barbara Kingsolver. Don't let us miss this one. We are very close. 6 minutes left. A couple of more callers will put us over the edge. 800-383-9772 or log on to WPR.org. Be that one caller that puts us over
exactly
the top.
We're getting close. We're getting real close.
It's very exciting.
800-383-9772. This is going to be another nail biter. 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online securely at WPR.org. But pledge. You know Wisconsin Public Radio is your favorite radio service. You know the quality of the guests that Rhonda and Kathleen bring you day after day here on Wisconsin Public Radio. There's not a day you listen to this show that you don't learn something from a politician, an author, a scientist, an explorer from around the world. You name the list of guests you've heard on Wisconsin Public Radio, and certainly that list is worth something to you. $10 a month, $20 a month, $30 a month. Go to your phone right now and become a member of this service and help pay to keep the quality up. 1-800-383-9772, and we need to hear from you in about the next 4 minutes to make that challenge grand.
Let's just get this pledge drive over, okay? We need $31,198 to end the whole thing, and the sooner you get us there, the better. You may as well pledge right now, and I know you were thinking of pledging, so why not just pick up that phone and make your pledge and help us reach our goal this hour, get the challenge grant, get the pledge drive over sooner. There it is. There it is. We have put it on the table. 800-383-9772.
Let Kathleen, let yourself have access to those guests tomorrow for the full hour. Don't cut programming short. Call now. Couple of minutes left. We are so close to getting that goal of $3,000 and then that extra $500 challenge grant from existing members. So pick up the phones. 4 minutes left. 800-383-9772.
And how close are we to that goal?
We are $135 away.
That's one pledge. Maybe your pledge can put us over the top. Our average pledge is about $150, $160, I believe. So make that call right now. Pledge your support. Put it on a Visa or a MasterCard, or we'll bill you monthly or quarterly. You decide how, but go to your phone right now, and you can put us over the top for this particular hour and keep us moving. And we're really trying with your help.
We're $35 away now.
to complete this pledge drive today, but it's going to take some work on your part to go to your phone and call 800-383-9772.
That's 800-383-9772. Thanks for all of your calls, everybody. We do want to say thank you. And, you know, there are certain hours you just want to do well. They have Congressman Opie on and Professor Miller to talk about these issues and know the history of his helping to fashion Wisconsin Public Radio. It just, we want you to get the idea, and you do. So it's meaningful to have you pledge for this hour. It just is. 800-383-9772
We are so close
number.
To that goal.
Yeah,
we
are.
We have about 2 minutes remaining. You make that call at 800-383-9772, and hopefully we'll make it in the next 30 seconds or 45 seconds. We'll let you know. Pledge online any old time at WPR.org, but do it right now to help us make the goal for the hour and the goal for the pledge drive.
I just want to thank everyone who's called in this hour, who called in Friday, who's called in this entire pledge drive. Thank you. But keep those phones ringing. 800-383-9772 or log on to WPR.org.
Thanks to both of you. Thanks, Rhonda Fanning.
Thanks for producing the hour, too.
Thanks, Bill Estes. Thanks for getting Dave Obie and Professor Ed Miller for all of the work that you have done. Please call continuing to call with your pledges at 800-383-9772. Thanks to Susie Seidelman for on-air production here in Milwaukee. And we got the news, and we'll be back on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.